The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Oh, good. This felt so good. So I always like to start my talks by getting a sense of who might be here for the first time at IMC. Can I have a show of hands? Anyone here for the first time? No newcomers. Cool. Great. Usually there's someone. So with that, I also like to start talks by inviting people to just say hi to one person around them, because it's so important to have a sense of community. Sometimes you come, you sit in silence, you listen to a talk, and you go home, and there's no connection made. And it would be so different if you were the only person in the room here. So, and there's a reason why we're all here tonight. We have the same intention. So let's extend that metta that loving kindness we have for our bodies for another human being here. So say hi to someone. Say your name. Where are you from? What brings you here? What's happening? How are you? Go. Don't be shy. It can be a group of three also. Make groups of three. Maybe that's easier. Yeah. How long have you been coming here? I don't know. Yeah, join a group of three or four. You're being shy. And you don't have to. I'm just inviting you. It just brings out good energy in the room. Cool. We'll have a lot of interaction tonight, so cool. Great. So nice. Yay. Great. So with that, I'll tell you. So the topic for reflection tonight that I have is wise speech, also known as right speech, because it's such important practice in daily life. It's profound practice. So just to give you a heads up as what I'm imagining the setup of tonight to be is for me to share some reflections and some thoughts and really kind of motivate the topic. And then guide us through some reflections, because I think if we just hear a talk, hear the Dharma, you know, it has some effect, but it's so much more powerful when you actually reflect about the topic in your own life. And it's even more profound when you actually talk with other people about it. Becomes being witnessed and witnessing other and talking about practice is so profound. And many things become more clear in that. So basically, that's what I have in mind. I don't want to be talking the whole night. I'll be talking a little bit, and then we'll have time for Q&A and interaction. And the topic tends to be pretty juicy. Topic of right speech. So some reflections on right speech. So it's part of the Eightfold Path, the teachings of the Buddha, the main path to liberation. And also, I don't know if many of you know that IMC has an Eightfold Path program. That's an 8-month or actually 9-month program where people practice or they focus on one of the path factors each month, and they practice and they get together every month. There's a meeting here, and I guess I'm doing putting a plug in for the Eightfold Path, which has already been going on for a while. Actually, there have been two series. This is the third one, I believe. There hopefully will be more, so if this is something that sounds of interest to you, put it on your radar. But the reason why I bring this in is that there are also mentors for this program, and I've been a mentor for the program, talking with people one-on-one about their practice, about the different path factors. Each month we have a one-on-one talk, discussion and talk. And it's been profound for me to see how right speech is often the one that is transformative or really grabs people. it's because we talk so much. We talk a lot, and we cause a lot of harm, and we can also cause a lot of good through our speech. And it's a way, really can be a profound way of practice to notice and recognize what we say. So why speech? Aside from being an aspect of sila or ethical conduct, because, you know, we don't want to lie and be untruthful and cause harm and be unkind, etc., etc. I'll talk in more detail about the principles of why speech in more detail in a moment. But in a high level, of course, you don't want to lie and be unkind with your speech. So it seems like it's immoral. Thou shall not lie. That's only part of the story. That's only part of this practice. Because as we know, in Buddhism, it's mostly about the practices of the mind. The outward, the way that we behave in the world, is just a part of it. When you start to notice your speech, when you start to notice how you're speaking and what you're, and you notice your intentions in speaking, there is a much more important inner dimension of how that changes you, how noticing your speech in the world is not just an outside act, an outer act of non-harming, but it really starts to change you and become a major practice inside. It becomes a practice of mindfulness and changing you from within. So there is this outer dimension of wise speech and this inner dimension of wise speech that you really become conscientious of your motivations to speak. So the Buddha talked about five things to consider when we speak. And I have a mnemonic for them for me to remember them really easily. Well, it works for me, so I'll share it with you, and then I'll go through them. So my mnemonic is TTBGK. Somehow that works. TTBGK. And I'll tell you what they stand for. TTBGK. You can say it really quickly. TTBGK. Why that works for me? I don't know. Maybe you can come up with a better mnemonic and tell me. Anyway, so T, what's the first T? The first T is for truthfulness. Is what is being said truthful? Second T, and I'll talk more about these in a moment. Second T, for timeliness, is what I'm saying timely? Is this the right time for what is being said? TTB, see, this is how it helps me. B, is this beneficial? What I'm about to say, is this beneficial? Does it bring people together, or does it cause people to become divisive? Is it divisive speech? TTBG, is it gentle or is it harsh? What's my tone? TTBGK, is it kind? Is it coming from a place of care? Or is it coming from a negative energy of wanting to hurt someone or harm someone? So the same way that there is an inner dimension to this practice and an outer dimension, there's also an inner dimension to this practice, is the way we talk to ourselves and also the way we talk to other people outside. So for the last 5 minutes of the sit, if you notice, I invited you to experiment with noticing if thoughts were coming out and if they were kind, if they were gentle, if they were true, or if they were just opinions that you were regurgitating. I think I use those words. Let's see, truthful, TT, true, if they were true, if they were timely, if these are the thoughts that are really needed right now, if that's what's called for. Are they beneficial? Are these thoughts really benefiting you right now? Or are they making you anxious and worried or upset or various things? Gentle and kind. So I suggested we look into that. And in a moment, I'll ask you for reflections if anybody actually noticed anything. I noticed some things I'll share with you in a moment. I want to say a little more about the expand on the TTBGK. Again, I'm open to anyone coming up with a better mnemonic than this, but this works for me. So truthfulness, That's a really, really basic one. I would say that's the fundamental one. If there's one to stick to out of the five, I think that speaking the truth, it is said that the Buddha, when from the time that he was a bodhisattva to the time that he attained Buddhahood, there was a lot of training and there were a lot of lifetimes, etc., etc. And he broke, in different lifetimes, I think he broke a lot of precepts. There's one precept he did not break, and that was speaking untruly, without truth. So whether that's true or false, but it's really really putting a lot of emphasis on speaking truthfully, and really bringing attention to when we don't speak the truth. Either we say a lie straight out, we present things in a different light when we shade the truth, or whether it's lying by omission. We don't say something, and basically we're lying because we're not sharing a piece of information that's important and critical. And also looking into the reasons why it's happening. A lot of time there are a lot of emotions, fear there might be fear or embarrassment of being seen in a particular way. There could be wanting people to see us in a different way, etc., etc. So we all have different reasons at times when the truth gets shaded. So for me, I remember there are times when I would be late to something, and okay, I left a little later, that was a part of it, and there was traffic. So what would I choose to say? It was traffic, yeah? Because I wouldn't want to say, well, I was disorganized and I couldn't find this and I couldn't find that. And so there was embarrassment inside of not sharing that part of the truth, but sharing, well, there was traffic. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Yeah? Yeah, we're all humans. So it's interesting to notice, to notice these. Truthfulness. TT. The other one is timeliness. About speech being timely. And what does that one mean? So, for example, if you want to have a conversation with a friend, and it's true what you want to say to them, and you're going to say it very kindly and very gently, and it's beneficial for your friendship, but it just so happens that they lost their job that morning. Is it a good time to really have that big, huge conversation about your friendship and your relationship? Well, maybe not. So keeping in mind timeliness of a discussion, or if someone is really upset or hurting, is it a time to bring something up that's difficult? TTB, beneficial. In the teachings of the Buddha, conversation that brings people together instead of pushing them away and being divisive is really, really important. So for us, it's really a question of an investigation of when we say something about a third person that makes this harmony happen between the person we're talking about and the other person, because maybe there's some insecurity, maybe we want to look better. Really bringing attention to that. The respected teacher, Joseph Goldstein, has this story that at some point in his practice years ago, he decided to make right speech his main practice for a while. Well, actually, he was doing a lot of practice, but he decided one aspect of right speech he decided to do was not to talk about anyone with anybody else. Just not do that. Not talk about anyone who was not present in their absence. And he says that he noticed 90% of his speech went away. And it was amazing to him, it was an insight, how much time we really spend talking about somebody who's not there. And the speech may not be malicious, might be information, but still, if we make it a practice to really notice that. TTB, that was the beneficial part. TTBG, gentle. The gentleness of speech, it comes up a lot when we're upset, when we are short in time, when we're antsy, when we're angry, when we're a little upset, and those stingers just come out just in a harsh voice. You know, we roll our eyes like, ah, let's go, or come on, or just something just runs out in those moments of harsh speech that can be really hurtful when we receive them, and of course when we dole them out. So bringing mindfulness, bringing awareness to that. TTBGK, kind. That one is easiest to think and consider. Is what we're about to say, does it come from sense of kindness, sense of care for the other person, for ourselves? Or is it not? Is it motivated by trying to hurt someone? Or are we confused about the motivation? Are we just saying something to spend time or waste time? Is a speech, I guess that becomes beneficial. So having talked a little bit about the topic and motivated, first I'd like to ask you if when you did the contemplation for the last few minutes of the meditation, if you noticed anything, if anything came up for you about whether your inner speech, inner dialogue was true, timely, TT beneficial, gentle and kind or not. Any observations? Okay, I'll share something to get you started. So one thing that I noticed is I was thinking thoughts that were not really beneficial. They were not beneficial. They would make me upset or anxious right now. And I guess they were not timely because I'm sitting here and I don't want to be anxious and think about something. It's like, oh, well, that's interesting. That's interesting to notice that and look through the thoughts through that lens. All right, I've done my self-revelation. Anybody else?
I just noticed that there's a lot of replaying of the past and sort of any little thing that's kind of unresolved is sort of a sense of language around it in terms of kind of being harsh and kind of urgency to how can I, you know, in the future say something that will resolve it and I can forget about it and move on. So it's kind of like a harshness or urgency to... And what language and what should I say to let whatever this was be resolved, done with, so I can move on? And it's, I think it's kind of connected to my sense of anxiety around things that aren't just like closed and shut and done and that kind of thing.
Thank you. Yeah. Any other observations? Looking through that lens in the mind, Sue.
Well, I noticed it seemed like there was a lot of chatter going on in my mind. And then what I noticed was self-judgment and like, just quiet. It's like I saw the judgment pop up.
Nice, yeah. That's neither beneficial nor kind. Is there a lot, yeah. Nice, good observation, yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
Compulsive. Yeah, it's hard to turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, I think there must be a self-esteem element to my thinking. You know, things to pump myself up. You know, build the great this or that. But I've got a long history of observing this now, so I'm pretty accepting, so that's how it's going.
Great.
Just watch it.
Cool. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Any other? Yeah. Two microphones coming your way.
So this is one I struggle with all the time, is both kind and gentle. So much of my speech, self-speech or speech elsewise, is not with a kind intention. And frequently it seems it doesn't come gently. Mm. It comes with an aggression.
Yeah.
And even if it's not said aggressively, maybe my body language is aggressive, or maybe my facial expressions are aggressive, not expressing gentle or kind.
Mm.
And even in meditation, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've tried very hard to think about is, well, not even, you know, just swearing at yourself, you know, damn it. You know, well, that's an aggressive speech, actually,
yeah.
And a very aggressive speech. It can get much stronger.
Yeah.
And those are the things that they're practices that are not wise.
Yeah.
But yet it's so hard to turn off.
Yeah, yeah. We often talk to ourselves in a way that we would never, ever talk to anybody else. It's just so interesting to start noticing the patterns. And that is really the first step. Noticing is the first step for change, because when you notice, when one doesn't notice, it just keeps going on, right? It just keeps going on unchecked. It just keeps going on unchecked. But when you do notice, as you were saying, it's like, whoa. And then you notice again, and then it gets dropped off more and more and more and more. One practice for self-talk sometimes could also be seeing, would you say that to somebody else? Would you say that to a dear friend, to somebody that you cared about? How, if they did what you did, for whatever reason, you're like kicking yourself and hitting yourself. If you spilled the water and now you're saying, oh, I'm stupid, I have no composure, I'm a klutz, a total klutz. If a dear friend did that, what would you tell them? How would you speak to them? So that can be a really interesting reflection when there's a tyrant in the mind that's just been going on and on unchecked. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming your way, the microphone. Thank you.
So another feeling I have is that when I speak harshly inside to myself, that I am scaring myself.
Mm.
And so maintaining an anxiety inside.
Mm. Maintaining an anxiety. So your inner talk wants to maintain the anxiety, or
no? By being harsh,
yeah,
and scaring myself,
yeah. Yeah.
I keep myself in a state of anxiety.
Yeah, you know, you're noticing that yeah, of course, because if it's like it's not safe in there, there's someone who's just every move you make, every wrong move you make is right there talking very harshly. So, of course, the feeling inside would be anxiety. Wow, when is she going to lash out next? Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not sure how to classify this one, but
yeah,
trying to solve a problem from work still. And I guess it makes me anxious, but it's not necessarily, it's kind of timely.
Right.
I'd like to solve it. So But I don't necessarily want to be thinking about it 24/7.
Right.
So exactly. where do I fit that one?
Yeah, but that's exactly it. I mean, when you said you don't want to do it 24/7, there is a time. There's a right time for it. Allotting this particular, from this time to this time, I'm going to think about it compulsively for an hour. And I'm just going to knock myself out and think about this problem. And then I'm going to stop. And then be in present moment, or be in my meditation, or have my meal, whatever. So that's when it. That's how you fit it, yeah. So I'm going to invite all of us now to get into groups of roughly three. Let's see if we're divisible by three. We'll just figure it out. So let's get into groups of three, and then I'll suggest the next things for our conversation and our contemplation together. And groups of two are fine, too. Let's see. Or groups of four. Actually, tell you what. You can be a group of four here. That will work. Yeah, let's make a group of four. And perfect. Oh, this is great. Okay. Fantastic. So this is what we'll do. We'll do this in the following order. So there will be two contemplations, and the first question is, how have you been harmed by unwise speech, either by others or by yourself? How have you been harmed by unwise speech, speech that has been untruthful, has been harsh, has been unkind, etc., etc.? So the way we'll do this is we'll go, it's called a spiral. We'll do a spiral. So one person will say a little bit, then the next person says a little bit, then the next person, and then continue. So keeping each of the sharings in the spiral format short, because whatever you say will bring up some thought for the next person, and then the next person, and then for you again, so each person can go multiple times. Does that sound clear? Yeah? Doesn't sound clear. It sounds clear? Yeah? No? Yes? Okay, so the question is, how have you been harmed by harsh speech, or by unwise speech? And then the contemplation we'll do later, let's just do this one first, and then, yeah. So how have you been harmed by unwise speech, either your own or others? Go.
Thank you.
Okay, so the second contemplation, the second question is, when you engage in unskillful, unwise speech. Anybody who doesn't ever? Okay. We're all in this together. It's a lifetime practice. So when you find yourself in the middle of unwise speech or you reflect back and you're, oh, that was unwise, what's inside you? What makes you? What is behind it? Are there emotions? Are there conditions? Are there feelings? What's going on? Are there some particular emotions or feelings you want to project or hide or manipulate, or maybe you're short on time, or you're stressed out, or whatever it is? Just ask the reflection. When you speak unwisely, what's going on inside? What's going on? To the best of your mindful observation. And again, we'll do this as a spiral. So share something brief. Let the next person share something brief so that everyone in the circle can have multiple opportunities to bring ideas in. Is that clear? Yeah. Okay. Take it away.
Thank you.
please thank your group. I know it's been short, and we can continue with the spiral a lot more, but we have limited time, unfortunately. So let's come back to the group, to the big group. Yeah. So how was that? What did you... how was it? What did you notice? What did you observe? Yeah, Bill.
Well, the first thing I noticed right off the bat is I really didn't want to talk about this. It's painful.
Both first part and the second part? Or both first reflection and second reflection, or really the second reflection?
The first.
The first one also?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So I had to challenge myself, and I think about it. And then I thought of something to say that was pretty good. And then I got into it. Mm. It was good. Therapeutic. Created some self-understanding.
Mm. Nice. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it's especially precious when we're pushing our edge, and we can notice that edge, and like, don't make me, I don't want to. But when we actually gently, okay, mindfully, kindly, okay, let's look at this too, and then things we didn't want to look at reveal themselves.
It made me think this was a good topic for me anyway.
Ah, oh, great. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Other observations, other comments? We have limited time, so don't be shy. Yeah.
What I realized, which is always interesting to me, is that my suffering is not special. And there is almost nothing that came out of anyone else's mouth that I haven't already been there, done that, have the t-shirt for.
Isn't that wonderful when we talk with others and realize, wow, the web of humanity, we're all in this together. We all suffer the same way. We all mess up the same way. It's just, yeah, it's not special. Just nature. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. And probably the same would have happened if you were in any other group tonight. No doubt. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Other thoughts, other observations? Especially if you haven't spoken tonight yet, I invite you to say something, please. Okay, if you have spoken tonight, I invite you to say something, please. Sue? So.
Just that words are really powerful. Can be really wounding over a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. And one reason for the reflection, the first reflection, I wanted for people to contemplate how hurt we get and therefore how powerful our words are to others. Because when you, ouch, feel how hurt you've been by harsh words or people lying to you or other things, you're like, wow, when I do those things, it really hurts other people. It really hurts them. And when we get in touch with that ouch in ourselves, then we can extend that sense of empathy to others. Thank you. Mary.
It really helped me. I've been kind of concerned with a decision I made that I thought maybe was like a rash decision based on something, things that were said to me that hurt. And when we sat in our group, at first I didn't think of anything, and then I thought of one after the other of of the same thing that built up to that decision. So now I feel really good that, oh yeah, that really did hurt.
Yeah.
And I have a tendency to forget and then just, you know, I might not be making any sense to anybody else, but I appreciate the exercise. It was very helpful.
You are. I think it's important sometimes we don't acknowledge words that are hurtful or any in ways that we're hurt, and we try to like, oh, I'm strong, I'm a good Buddhist, you know, I have loving kindness, it's okay. But oof, that hurt. Ouch. Yeah.
If it's the only thing I can remember and it happened quite a while ago, then was it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so it is 9 o'clock, 9:01 actually, on this clock. So we're bringing the evening to a close. There was a quote by Nietzsche I wanted to share earlier, and as you were reflecting, I thought about it. It's so good, I want to share it anyway as we close. I'm paraphrasing Nietzsche, but he says something like, when you lie to me, I don't hate that you lie to me. What I hate is that I cannot trust what you're going to tell me in the future. So untruthfulness really degrades trust and foundations of friendships and relationships, which is, I think, why the Buddha highlighted it so much as being the first one. So I wanted to leave you with that. It's not easy, but it's what we try. And we keep failing, and we try. So thank you so much for your practice. And may your practice be a cause and condition for liberation of all beings, including yourself. Thank you, and have a good night.